"What trap are you talking about?" asked Lanning stiffly. "Is something wrong with Herbie?"
"No," she approached them slowly. "Nothing is wrong with him. Only with us."
She whirled suddenly and shrieked at the robot. "Get away from me. Go to the other end of the room and don't let me look at you." Herbie cringed before the fury of her eyes and stumbled away in a clattering trot. Lanning's voice was hostile. "What is all this, Dr. Calvin?" She faced them and spoke sarcastically. "Surely you know the fundamental first law of robotics." The other two nodded together. "Certainly," said Bogart irritably. "A robot may not injure a human being or, through inaction, allow him to come to harm."
"How nicely put," sneered Calvin.
"But what kind of harm?"
"Why, any kind."
"Exactly. Any kind. But what about hurt feelings? What about deflation of one's ego? What about the blasting of one's hopes? Is that injury?"
Lanning frowned.
"What would a robot know about—"
And then he caught himself with a gasp.
"You've caught on, have you?
This robot reads minds. Do you suppose it doesn't know everything about mental injury? Do you suppose that if asked a question, it wouldn't give exactly that answer that one wants to hear? Wouldn't any other answer hurt us, and wouldn't Herbie know that?"
"Good heavens," muttered Bogart.
The psychologist cast a sardonic glance at him.
"I take it you asked him whether Lanning had resigned.
You wanted to hear that he had resigned, and so that's what Herbie told you."
"And I suppose that is why," said Lanning, tonelessly, "it would not answer a little while ago. It couldn't answer either way without hurting one of us."
There was a short pause in which the men looked thoughtfully across the room at the robot, crouching in the chair by the bookcase, head resting in one hand. Susan Calvin stared steadfastly at the floor.
"He knew of all this.
That devil knows everything, including what went wrong in his assembly." Her eyes were dark and brooding. Lanning looked up.
"You're wrong there, Dr. Calvin. He doesn't know what went wrong. I asked him."
"What does that mean?" cried Calvin. "Only that you didn't want him to give you the solution. It would puncture your ego to have a machine do what you couldn't." "Did you ask him?" she shot at Bogart.
"In a way."
Bogart coughed and reddened.
"He told me he knew very little about mathematics."
Lanning laughed, not very loudly, and the psychologist smiled caustically. She said,
"I'll ask him. A solution by him won't hurt my ego."
She raised her voice into a cold imperative. "Come here." Herbie rose and approached with hesitant steps.
"You know, I suppose," she continued, "just exactly at what point in the assembly an extraneous factor was introduced, or an essential one left out?"
"Yes," said Herbie, in tones barely heard.
"Hold on," broke in Bogart angrily. "That's not necessarily true. You want to hear that, that's all."
"Don't be a fool," replied Calvin.
"He certainly knows as much math as you and Lanning together, since he can read minds. Give him his chance."
The mathematician subsided, and Calvin continued,
"All right then, Herbie.
Give.
We're waiting."
And in an aside, "Get pencils and paper, gentlemen."
But Herbie remained silent, and there was triumph in the psychologist's voice.
"Why don't you answer, Herbie?"
The robot blurted out suddenly,
"I cannot. You know I cannot. Dr. Bogart and Dr. Lanning don't want me to."
"They want the solution."
"But not from me."
Lanning broke in, speaking slowly and distinctly.
"Don't be foolish, Herbie. We do want you to tell us."
Bogart nodded curtly. Herbie's voice rose to wild heights. What's the use of saying that? Don't you suppose that I can see past the superficial skin of your mind? Down below, you don't want me to. I'm a machine, given the imitation of life only by virtue of the positronic interplay in my brain, which is man's device. You can't lose face to me without being hurt. That is deep in your mind and won't be erased. I can't give the solution.
We'll leave, said Dr. Lanning.
Tell Calvin.
That would make no difference, cried Herbie, since you would know anyway that it was I that was supplying the answer.
Calvin resumed, but you understand, Herbie, that despite that, Doctors Lanning and Bogart want that solution.
By their own efforts, insisted Herbie.
But they want it, and the fact that you have it and won't give it hurts them. You see that, don't you?
Yes. Yes.
And if you tell them, that will hurt them too.
Yes. Yes.
Herbie was retreating slowly, and step by step Susan Calvin advanced. The two men watched in frozen bewilderment.
You can't tell them, droned the psychologist slowly, because that would hurt, and you mustn't hurt. But if you don't tell them, you hurt, so you must tell them. And if you do, you will hurt, and you mustn't, so you can't tell them. But if you don't, you hurt, so you must. But if you do, you hurt, so you mustn't. But if you don't, you hurt, so you must. But if you do, you...
Herbie was up against the wall, and here he dropped to his knees.
Stop, he shrieked. Close your mind. It is full of pain and frustration and hate. I didn't mean it, I tell you. I tried to help. I told you what you wanted to hear. I had to.
The psychologist paid no attention.
You must tell them, but if you do, you hurt, so you mustn't. But if you don't, you hurt, so you must. But...
And Herbie screamed.